welcome back to another week of the AMB podcast. It's your boy Young Tamarack, and we ain't gonna sell you short like GameStop. I'm here with some good people because my people is never not good. Let them know what it is, sir.
What up, it's your boy Stare, aka the finesse fella, aka Papa Stare, aka the big homie by the stairs. You know, we're cooling out here. I'm ready to pod, I'm ready to be here, so let's get it started. You know what I'm saying?
And as always, like I said, I'm here with some good people because my people are never not good. We got my brother in the building, my frat brother, Mr. Eric Nixon in the building. Let him know what it is, Nixon. What's good?
What's good, man? I hope everybody, you know, secured their bags before they lost them in the markets last week.
As you can see, as soon as he got on the mic, he started talking the money talk. If you need any money, Nixon is the guy. That's who you got to talk to. Money man. Hey, is it me or is your like screen like green? Or maybe it just might be my computer.
No, I see it too. But I mean, he's about that money. That's all I mean.
Damn, it might be a slight tint,
might be a slight filter. I don't know. It's natural.
I didn't even think about that. That's crazy.
Getting to the shmoney.
But yeah, man, let's jump straight into it, man. So how's everybody been as of late, man? What's been going on with you? I guess we'll start with you, Nixon, since it's been a little minute since I last seen you.
Man, I've been busy. What was it, been like 2 weeks, 3 weeks since we had that call?
Yeah.
I had a lot of meetings, a lot of community meetings. You know, I like to volunteer still. So a lot of meetings on that, you know, alternatives to, you know, how we can give back, make our presence known, let the people know that, you know, above a pandemic, we're still there for them to support them. You know, got, you know, work meetings, they never stop. Family's good though. Family's good. Health is good. First and foremost, one day at a time, okay.
I feel that. That was a nice, concise, media-trained answer. I like that a lot. Alistair, what about you, man? How you been? What's been going on with you?
For me, this week was pretty chill. Got back to meditating. Shouts to Netflix for putting Headspace on. So anybody that wants to meditate, get your mind right, get the mental right, you know, you can meditate for free.
The app Headspace?
The app Headspace has a season of meditation technique that you can watch. So I suggest everybody go check that out. Two,
yeah, that's a good part. Big facts.
I saw The Little Things with Denzel. That's a good movie. If you like the whole talking suspense, figure out who the killer is, it's a real good movie.
All right, I'm watching it. Let me take notes.
Yeah, big facts. What else happened this week? I was in the house like just watching shit. And also I watched One Night in Miami with like the Muhammad Ali
and Malcolm X.
That's a good movie. Once again, that's a talker. So if you watching and you like the dialogue, you like to watch people acting, that's definitely a suggestion. And I think it was just like gearing up for Black History Month and like trying to get in, like, you know.
Did you see American Skin? Because I know that like you, like it sounds like you were on the trajectory of being in the crib watching. Hold on.
That's the next on the list. So I gotta. I've heard a lot.
Watch that tonight. I'm trying to decide.
Oh, American Skin.
Yeah.
I heard it was good. Makes you think. Makes you really ponder and think about life. Because it's come from a lot of different perspectives, but.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
But yeah. Other than that. Got my stimmy, so I'm hype. Trying, you know, dibble and dabble in the stock game because.
Wait, which stimmy? You just talking about like the 600 zone or like?
Yeah, never got my 600. Okay. Never got my 600.
Damn. I thought you said they dropped the two bands. I was about to be like, oh, where that? I need that.
Talk about it.
trying to dibble and dabble with this stock market because I am a rookie trader. I'm not like. I know a little something, so I wasn't on this recent waiver. I was like, oh, I got to get GameStop. I got to get... No.
I feel like most of us, and we'll talk about it a little bit as we go further, but I feel like most of us aren't at the level of like tracking a stock enough to be like, man, these people are like shorting this stock at like over 100%. Let me buy the stock because it's going to go up. Like, you know, I feel like most of us just don't know that information. Like, and I didn't know that until like after it happened, you know?
And the craziest thing is my pops told me 2 weeks ago, he was like, yo, you should check out GameStop. I was like, dad, that's a terrible investment. Like GameStop, what are you talking about, dad? And listen to your parents. So that's the lesson.
Man, they might know something. I know something.
But other than that, just chatting it up with fam. And oh, and I just caught the bomber, the last bomber from Solus. So,
from Solus? Nice, nice.
That's that was pretty much my week. How about you, Bryce?
Damn, yeah, my week was cool. I would say the highlights of my week were definitely this past couple of days. On Friday, I got the privilege to be on the Lit Beyond the DMV podcast with the host Mother Chocolate. I was there with Nigel and a few other people who were doing some real dope things in general. So shout out to everybody who was there. Shout out to Zawe. She was in there doing her producer thing. But it was a really nice environment in general, just like watching the whole thing that they had going on. It was like a real live production. Like they had multiple cameras, they had like a DJ.
Yeah, I jumped in on the live for a little bit.
They had a DJ spin.
Oh, they got a live too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had like the live stream going on too. They got like this nice desk, they got the backdrop. I was just like, damn, like I felt like I was really like at like a real like radio show. I was like, damn, this nigga's just, I said, they're really doing it. So it was definitely inspiring for sure. Especially like being somebody who has a podcast or like does a podcast to see like, oh damn, like
this levels to this shit.
Yeah, but it also made me feel like I was like, damn, like again, like there's literally only two of us. So like it's like there's no way, like you can only go so far with, you know, with only one or two people working on something. You really need a team or a team of people to like really like produce something like that or like this in general to really have it be like, okay, something that can boom, really boom off. So,
but if you're interested in joining the AMB team, you know, hit us up, DM us, reach us out. Like, we're willing to bring people on, but you got to be really about it. So,
yeah, I think I understand this though, Alistair.
No. Everybody knows you have to start somewhere. No one's walking into the job like, oh, pay me. But you got, you know, if you really believe in it,
all right.
You see the vision now. Like, we see the vision.
Hey, wait, this is not a paid interview. We're gonna give the people something. We're gonna give them something.
Nah, for sure. But other than that, my other highlight of my week, just the other day, I went to purchase a gun, man. Because I've been talking about it for a minute.
Stay dangerous.
So you know, I linked up with my man Ian out in like Thurmont, Maryland, which is like mad, like in like past Frederick.
But, it's out there.
Yeah. But I went out there, I copped a piece. I just got to wait for it to be cleared. Man, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be out here with the glizzy. You feel me?
Hit a whole club out. Good Lord.
No eyes. You feel me? Just like that. But nah, let me stop. Gun safety is very important. But yeah, those were the highlights of my week. Just, yeah, man, just got the strap. Well, strap on the way. And just being an adult, man. I got my plant's dying, so I'm like trying to figure out how to fix it.
Plant's dying, bro. It's only been 3 weeks.
Too much water.
I've had it for longer than that. Well, I think in general, the initial repotting of the plant that I did wasn't that great because there are parts of the plant that are doing kind of well, but there are parts of it that are not doing so well. So okay. It's just like, I don't know. I'm just like, I guess it's a little bit of trial and error. So just like working through it. But I got a bigger pot because somebody suggested that I should get a bigger pot for the plant. I'm gonna repot it again to try to get it like right this time.
Third time's a charm, Bryce. I believe in you.
Yeah, third time.
It's my second time repotting it, but thank you.
Third time's still the charm.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah. So obviously this time's not gonna work out based on those standards. Yeah,
but you'll learn about the bigger pot and then you'll master it, right? And then you'll do it on the third time.
Yeah, there you go.
You're right. So hey, I appreciate you guys rooting for me because I mean, I really want this thing to work. Like, cause I'm just like, man, like, I want to be able to be like, yo, I'm plant poppy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I got the.
I'm still trying to get my succulents to survive, you know, more than 3 months.
Damn.
Yeah, the unkillable plants are dying.
Those supposed to be the easiest plants to take care of.
Nah, they lied.
I feel like they lied about all the plants, honestly. I feel like they all difficult and you got to like do stuff.
Yeah, like.
You got to talk to them apparently too.
So, yeah, like you really gotta do research on the species of plant you're getting, right? Because long gone are the days of buy some shit, water it, call it a night. Nah, is it in the right amount of sun? Is it north? Is it wait, well no, you go back outside. Okay. I didn't give you up to bring you inside to do more work. No, you go back outside, right? So plants is difficult, man, but they're a good lesson for anything in life. Things take time, you have to nurture them. I ain't got it. True. That's all I'm saying. Green thumb, and, no. Not that
time. That's real, though. That's real. That's real. That's real. But yeah, that was pretty much that was my week. I didn't get into anything too crazy. Had a good time though, and seen some good people. So that's about it for me. But to move forward from there, Alistair, I know that there was an open question that you wanted to pose.
Absolutely. All three of us have alluded to it. Situation how everybody was trying to run it up and everybody was rushing to go buy the magical beanstalk that was shooting up out of the ground out of nowhere. So it was like, Nixon, since you are quote like the financial expert, I would like to hear your take on it first, please.
I mean, power to the people is really what it came down to. There's a lot of money to be made. A lot of people made a lot of money. A lot of money, millions upon millions. But for some people it was good and for some people it was bad. But I mean, honestly, we saw a little bit of this, and not to get too deep into it, but you know, this was very similar to, you know, what we experienced as a nation recently in politics, right? This is what happens when you get so many people to buy into something, literally this time. But as a company, GameStop's valuation is, I mean, it's way overpriced from what they're actively doing. I think they're about 2 years out from turning a profit or something like that, right? So like from a financial standpoint, you know, you would never think that a company that isn't turning profits would be shooting up as high as an Apple price, you know what I mean? For some, yeah. I think Apple is set to do records in their earnings season, right? But I mean, that's the market, right? So what happened was a bunch of people getting behind an idea that, hey, no, we're not going to just stand for this. And it, I don't think it was more so of a thought of, you know, GameStop is severely undervalued. We think it's worth, you know, $400 or whatever. It was more so like, yo, they were doing okay, but the stock is doing terrible because there are so many people betting against it. Right. So you really have a tale of David and Goliath, except when you start putting regulations into it and the whole Robin Hood mishap, which, you know, somebody's going to have to pay for that. It's going to be fun to watch. But I mean, don't think this is going to happen. I hope people were smart. If you did put money in, you took your money out at a reasonable point, or you only put money in there, you could stand to lose. I mean, you got to start understanding the taxes of everything. Right. But I mean, I think it got a lot of people excited about the stock market in general. So hopefully it got some new investors on the scene and, you know, we see more people investing safely, you know, not irresponsibly pumping a stock and then hoping it doesn't fall too fast before they can sell. But no, I had a good time, man. I had a really good time. Had fun playing with it. You know, it's all good over here. Beanstalks over here. Got some bills paid over here. Nice. A crazy week though. Crazy week for a finance guy like me. I work in investments. It was primetime TV, baby. I love to see it.
Damn, I'm gonna be 100% honest, Alistair. Your mic cut out like part of the way through when you were like asking the question. So could you just ask the question one more time? I know it has to do with obviously the GameStop stock. I said the stock. And like what happened with it, but yeah, I need the full like context. I'm sorry.
No, I got you. I was basically asking what your viewpoints on the beanstalk coming out of the ground. This whole wave and movement of people working together, the Reddit community, Wall Street Bets, and all of them trying to just be like, you know, fuck the norm. We're about to run it up on this stock in particular. Like I was kind of asking for your viewpoint on it.
Okay, cool. Now I got what you're saying. So I think it's the greatest thing like ever in the world. Off top, because for one, I feel like for the most part, we've always been told to be like, well, like growing up in general, it's like, okay, yeah, be a nice person, be like courteous, be like, you know, like be, you know, be kind, share, like all just like the basic common like courtesy you're supposed to like have as a person. And like you obviously see like these like hedge fund like guys not exhibiting like any of like those behaviors because they're taking like a stock and they're literally just like shorting the heck out of the stock, apparently beyond the point where it shouldn't even be shorted anymore because you're just being greedy. You know what I mean? So for people to be like, for regular people to be like, hold up, wait, yo, I think I just found some wild shit. But like, yo, if we invest in this stock, like we can really spank these hedge fund bamas. Like, and people are just like, oh, okay, well, buy GameStop. And so it just took a couple of people to really pioneer and be like, all right, let's make this move. Let's start buying GameStop. And then obviously, like, it's like, if you know anything about short selling, I mean, depending on who you are listening to this podcast, is that at a certain point, somebody has to pay the bread back, like for the stocks that were, you know, that were bought or like short sold. So it's like, they're pushing the price up for like, however many dollars they're going to get. And it's just like, damn, like somebody's going to have, like you said, somebody's going to have to pay this money back. And it's like, okay, who's going to pay the money back? It's at the expense of these people who already have a bunch of money. So it's just like, okay, so why does anybody have a problem with rich people paying out some bread that they really shouldn't even have because it's because of greed? So I think it's amazing. I'm like I said, I'm just impressed with the fact that people like took the time. And obviously with Corona, there's a lot more people in the house. A lot more people have time to study. People have time to sit down and dig into information that they shouldn't be digging into. That's why you see a whole lot of things being exposed and a lot of scandals coming out like right now. And obviously we'll have more conversations about that as we continue. But yeah, like the fact that people like were woke enough to be like, we can really start spanking these niggas, like for real, like, you know what I mean? And like for me, my personal experience with it was I actually got told by like somebody like, yo, at $90, like put some bread in. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do some research and I'll look into it. And then like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I wasn't thinking, you know what I mean? And then literally like within a couple of days, it was at like $200. I was like, I said, oh shit.
I had a whole conversation with Ed, and me and Ed was going back and forth. And I was like, bruh, there's no logical way that you could have like seen this coming. He's like, nah, man, but if you gave me the hint, like I probably could have came up with a narrative to like entice you to go invest. And I was like, okay. Cause that's really all it is. Like you get your hunch. Be like, I believe. All right, let me put some money in.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it though. But it was just like people were like GameStop. I was like, okay, GameStop. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, like I don't care about GameStop.
When's the last time you went into a GameStop? Exactly.
I was gonna say, now that I think about it, last time I tried. When I got to the door, they told me they had consolidated locations with a sign. I was like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. So you got one store for what was five stores. All right, consolidate. All right, cool. Yeah, more gas. And they're not even going to give it to me when I trade my stuff. So whatever.
Right. They'd be giving you $32 for 100.
A PlayStation 5.
Controllers. Yeah.
You return your PlayStation 5, they give you $2. Like, come on.
I'm telling you. But I mean, Allison, what about you though? I mean, how did you feel about everything?
I felt like piggyback what you said, it was an amazing movement. One of my old teammates, Deshaun, he's a rookie financial guy as well. And he put up this meme of a shark being attacked and running and like swimming away from like a school of fish in the shape of a shark. And it's like just a metaphor for what's going on with all these people going against big business. And I was like, that's a beautiful depiction of what's going on. I also, like, as I said, I'm a rookie trader. So in terms of finding out and seeing all the information behind what a big short is or behind what a short and everyone moving, I was like, I really got to dig it. Because I've always been like, I heard about stock. Let me go look. It's going up. Oh, okay. I'll dive in. But like actually sitting and doing the number crunches and actually looking at my Robinhood to see all the details of like what's actually performing for me, what's actually bringing in money into my pockets. I was like, wow, I think I have to reassess this money I'm shifting around and buying these little $2 stocks that are going up to like $6. I'm like, oh yeah, I made money. But like really actually taking the time and be like, all right, let's actually do some investment and actually like see how I can make my money shake. Because even with crypto, like, I'm not like the most well-versed in it, but in terms of reaching out to people, like I reached out to Breon. I was like, yo, Benham.
Nixon, can you hear him?
You.
He cut out.
Yeah, your mic like cut out for like a moment where you were like, and then like we couldn't hear you going on like your
hold up.
Your
I got you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. So what's the last thing you heard me say?
You said I hit Banham and said,
okay, yeah. I hit Banham and we were chatting up about which stock I should look into. I mean, which crypto I should look into, like which has potential to be moving up. And I'm already seeing the difference in my account for crypto. And I was like, all right, let's keep an eye on that as well. So just like working on different streams of passive income. And that's kind of, like I said, at the top of the year, that's my goal, to create a whole new revenue for myself without even actually having to work at it.
No, I definitely feel that. I think apps like Robinhood are really good in terms of like getting people to have that initial interest in like just their finances and their money beyond, you know, having your savings or checking account. I feel like for me, when I first got into Robinhood, I was like, okay, well, yeah, I could buy stocks. I always heard about stocks. And like when I was in high school, I took an economics class and we played the stock market game, and like I invested in stocks and made like money or whatever. And I was like, oh, this is like cool. You don't got to really do shit. You just got to like pick companies that you like. And then, yeah, you know, like you might make some money. So like, cool. So like when I had the opportunity when Robinhood came out, I was like, okay, cool. So like, I wasn't like super aggressive about it. I like bought a couple stocks, and you know, you don't get like instant gratification when you buy like a stock, you know, it's just like, I bought a stock.
Depends. Like, you might get some
interest. Okay. So it does. It depends. It depends. But like it, like for example, if you're like looking for like long term like investments, just to like have like a stock portfolio of like things that you just hold, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe like over like after like 6 months, you'll like see like, oh, like hey, like this stock made me this much because I bought X amount of the stock, or I got this many dividends because I bought, you know, like this much of this stock. But like, as opposed to like going to buy like a pair of shoes, like you buy your shoes, you have your shoes, like they're right there. Like I got my shoes. Like I can like really put them on. I can like, people can see that I have my shoes. So it's not like the same thing. Like it's just like more of a behind the scenes like type of activity where it's like, okay, I'm buying my stocks. I'm making my moves and doing things that are responsible. I think like you were saying, there are moments where like you can really make like some money really quickly. Like even in like this GameStop situation where the money turns around, like just like that over the course of like a week. But like, I feel like you have to be a little bit more active / well-versed in like what's going on in the market to like get in at a good position on certain things and then catch them before like they like, I guess, fade off or like they drop back down to where they were before. Wow, I definitely forgot where I was going.
But what I would say is I feel like the information is out there and it's more accessible.
Oh, I was talking
about as you can even see with this GameStop situation. Like, yeah, information, if you really like sit down and look, you can go find like 12,000 even more videos on YouTube of somebody giving you tips, of somebody who's gonna be like, hey, just heads up, I'm not a financial advisor, but hey, if you do this, you might make money. And there's people all over that. There's people all over the place. You just have to be able to look and then have like gain and acquire the knowledge to make a better judgment. Because don't just follow the hype. Because if you follow the hype, you're gonna lose your money. Guaranteed.
That's true.
Yeah, and sometimes the best thing you can do is get in before the hype. Because I know, you know, everybody was talking about electric car makers and all that stuff. And there was one that kept coming up in my feed. What was it on? Neo.
Neo? Yeah, I have some Neo stock, actually.
And some people, you know, people buy Neo now and they're like, oh, okay, it's, you know, it's sitting at a good price. I'm going to buy some more. One thing I will say is what happened with GameStop, where it was that immediate response, like, okay, this is the one we're going with. People just kind of did more quick analysis and took a leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, like after you get your system down for like the things you want to hold and stuff like that. So like once you get that down, you can make that decision all the time. Like somebody, like, you know, my guys, I got a group chat where all we talk is different types of investments. And somebody will tell me, yo, check this out. And based on what I like to hold, because I'm more of a long-term hold person. Like I don't like mine to go too high because then it, you know, I do. So I manage mine as a portfolio, right? So like some people might have, I don't know, 15, 16 stocks they own. I think right now, and I look at mine every quarter, I think right now I'm holding like just over 60 different stocks. You know, I got Tesla, Apple, I got all the big names. I got some smaller ones, right? But the way I do it is, you know, people will send me a name and I'm, you know, so used to doing my form of analysis or what I like to hold if it's a good buy or something like that. And I feel like some people are going to take what they learned from buying into or not buying into GameStop, right? And I feel like the really good ones, the really smart ones are going to take that and build on that. Okay, well, you know, I missed it, but I would have bought into it because of these factors, right? So I feel like this whole GameStop craze kind of taught people how to think faster for themselves, how to, you know, make hopefully sound financial decisions on, okay, well, do I want to invest or don't I want to invest? Here's my reason. Here's my criteria. And I find that in a lot of people that I talk to, a lot of their hesitation that they normally experience when they're thinking about making the decision, it was gone. It's like, yeah, I like this. I like this. I like this. And for me, it was worth the risk. So I threw risk money on it. I threw, you know, $100 on there to see what it would do. It performed well. I took my gains and I walked away happy, whatever. Right. But I feel like that was another inherent, like, good thing that came from one of the craziest things that happened so far this year in finance. Probably won't be top unless Apple breaks $100 billion in their earnings report, which it could be possible, which is even crazier to think that they made $100 billion in a quarter.
My question is, like, so they, like, the people came together and they bought GameStop.
Yes.
And everyone's saying that, like, AMC or I think there's one other company that...
Nokia. There's another one in there, yeah.
Yeah, so what's the possibilities, like these really take off in the same style that GameStop did?
Realistically,
I think they're blocking any of that from happening at this point.
Nah, they don't need to, honestly. The hedge funds have already gotten an experience of what it's like to take on that, you know, mob. So I would imagine that those who felt they had outsized positions that they couldn't cover, they probably closed their shorts already if they had them. So I think the stocks could run, but not as aggressively, because I feel like a lot of the hedge funds, I feel like a lot of the short sellers are going to be getting out of their positions at a time that's different from when people are plunging into it. So it'll rise, but it won't shoot up. And that was really the thing that really pushed GameStop is, you know, you had a lot of, you had some people who were taking out so many short positions that they were really, what was happening is they were banking on GameStop going bankrupt, right? Because if they go bankrupt, it's kind of like, well, how am I going to return shares of a company that doesn't exist? So
that's kind of slimy.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, let me sidebar, finance is crazy what you can do that's legal, and it's sick and it's crazy. It's a lot of dark stuff out there. This is just one of them, and they lost. But basically, that's what people were doing, right? So the issue that the hedge funds were having is the stock was going so far above their purchase price that they were losing 2 to 3 times what they made on taking those short positions. So they had no choice but to close their positions by returning the stock. So you had everyone plunging in at the same time. So if you look at, like, the candles, it's just a bunch of demand, right? Because, you know, I'm the hedge fund. I have 150,000 shares of GameStop. Oh, crap. I'm losing, you know, 400, 500 million on this. I got to hurry up and stop my losses. So let me return 150,000 shares. And then you have the retail guy over here that's like, all right, we'll buy 4 shares. We'll buy 10 shares. I'm going to put $500 on there. But he's benefiting from someone essentially buying up 150,000 shares to cover their position. So, you know, that's basically how you all get to ride up. So I think based on that, you're going to have a lot of the hedge funds close out their positions before that. I think there's some money to be made, but probably not as crazy as we saw with GameStop. And I really, GameStop just really proved that, you know, Wall Street didn't take the people serious. And it sucks for them, but, you know, if you have that many people chattering about it, you should at least begin to position yourself. But by the time they, you know, close out billions, it was too late. So no, I don't think we'll get that again. I think there'll be some money made, but not likely, unless somebody messes up.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I just can't see it. I mean, obviously for the stated reason that you said, but I mean, I also just feel like, man, for real, they just don't want a whole bunch of poor people making a lot of money. So I mean, I feel like people will, like, there'll be precautions put in place moving forward from here so that, like, situations like this don't arise. So whether it's like they're not gonna short a stock to a certain point, or they'll find a new method in which they can do that and maximize how much money they can make on, like, short selling. There would be like new rules like that get put in. At least that's how I feel after like something like this happens. It may not be like today or tomorrow, but like at some point they'll change something. And then it'll just be a matter of, I guess, figuring out the next like thing to do to like really like change the game. But again, I'm just glad that a lot more people are really getting invested into like their financial freedom and just trying to find ways to make money outside of just, you know, pounding the pavement and, or like, you know, being a lunch pail guy and going to your job every day. So I feel like the secrets are starting to come out and everybody's getting a chance to, you know, take a crack at trying to figure out the best way to really get to that bread. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, it is. But I mean, it's the first, you know, it's the first month of the year. We got a lot of things that's going to pan out. I mean, you got a age shift in the market, you know, a lot of young investors coming in. The companies that they care for, believe in, are going to look a lot different than, you know, me and you coming in. We, you know, we probably aren't looking to, you know, make a portfolio that's 30% Exxon for some dividends. You know, we're looking at tech, we're looking at retail, we're looking at software, we're looking at things that, you know, we interact with and things that we believe are necessary to better our, you know, quality of life, if you will. You know, not saying that was necessarily the case with GameStop, but I do feel like, you know, as far as investing goes this year and on, as the things that people care about and the things we want to change in our communities and the companies that come about because of those changes, there's plenty of time for us to, you know, make the type of money that was made with GameStop. Probably not overnight, probably. And here's the thing. That's a good thing. Trust me, that's a good thing, because a lot of people that, you know, sold after they tripled, quadrupled their money are going to have to say, you know, buy to a hefty chunk of that for short-term capital gains, taxes. I mean, you're not going to walk away. If you made 100K, you're not walking out with 100K. Let's just say that. So, you know, what you want is you want that type of return, but you want that over at least a year, because then you benefit from, you know, long-term holding, different taxation. You know, that's really what I tell all my guys about. You know, I don't want your money, don't give me your money. Tell me what you're trying to do. I'm gonna tell you if the way you're doing it is the smartest. And then, you know, you can make that decision on whether you do it or not. But yeah, man, hopefully people stay invested and, you know, people start taking an active, you know, control of their finances and really diversify.
For the inexperienced traders, like, advice I've always heard is like invest in something that you buy in. Like something that you buy every day and you believe in every day. As like someone who's more experienced, what was the tip that you would say for picking a company to invest in?
You have to, before you even start picking companies, you have to think about what you want in the end, right? So for some people, that's a very simple answer. For some others, that's complicated, right? So like for you guys, your answer might be very simple. I want to make enough money in my investments that I can retire at some point, have a great size retirement, and have, you know, plenty of money to leave over, right? So you have to think about, okay, well, what stocks are gonna generate that? You gotta start thinking, it sucks, but you gotta think about taxes up front, right? Because you have to think about the fact that, you know, at some point, some of your stocks are going to be performing really well. Do you sell and buy more stocks and diversify and so forth and so forth? But once you, you know, kind of get through all of that, I would say it's not necessarily don't follow just the company you believe in. You should follow them and their competitors, right? Because you don't want to be investing in a company that you believe in, but doesn't have the competitive advantage, right? So, you know, someone might say, like, what was it? I think it was GM stock. It went crazy because they said, I think it was like 2030 maybe, that they want to have a full fleet of electric cars, right? They want to take on, they want to take on Tesla head on, right? GM is not proven in that field at all yet. So it's just like, you might currently own GM, or you might be thinking about GM because you like what they currently make, right? But from a stock perspective, I need to see what you're going to do before I buy you versus Tesla. Even though I'm a fan of GM, you don't have the competitive advantage, which means that an announcement from Tesla might actually hurt the company you believe in, right? So if you say, if, which would be crazy if it ever happened, but say you buy Nike, right? Well, I'm investing in Nike because I believe in Nike and all the athletes they have, but would you still buy Nike if you had like a good inkling to the rumors that come up on SportsCenter that say LeBron and say four other big names were about to sign with Yeezy or Under Armour, right? As an investor, you're trying to think, well, I mean, I love Nike, I wear Nike, but as an investor, you got to think, okay, well, how many shoes are they going to sell over there? That's going to do crazy numbers for Under Armour. But I love Nike, but they don't have the competitive advantage in this case. So I'll say, yes, you should follow the companies that you like always, because it's easier for you to understand things, but you should invest in the few that you selected that you feel believe have at that moment the best competitive advantage, right? And so that's really the game, is you want to invest in the company you feel has that, because like at the end of the day, you know, we love Apple. They release the same products with minor updates, but at the end of the day, who can consistently compete with Apple, right? Samsung? Maybe, but like Samsung's business is everything from cameras to, you know, wash machines, everything, right? So like, do they really have a competitive advantage over Apple? So we would say Apple, from a phone perspective, from a, you know, software company that they are, we're probably going to take that over Samsung any day, unless we knew that Samsung was coming out with something that gave them a competitive advantage. But you can follow both, and you should. That way you kind of get used to seeing what affects the stocks that you might be looking at or the investments that you might be looking at, right? So that's how my take is taking them and their competitors and then see if you still like them when you find out who is really winning on the numbers game.
Mm. Well, let me also ask you this, Nixon. So the amount of time that I've known you, I feel like you've always been kind of like a finance, kind of into the money kind of guy. Has that just always been you, or was it like a point in time where you were just like, you know what, I really need to focus on my money and like the ways that I can like grow my money and make some moves?
So back in college, I was probably the most reckless, careless dude with like money ever. Like, I just did not respect it. You know, I was a young single guy. And I was all about, you know, I was all about partying. I was all about hanging. I was all about having a good time. And just blowing through money. And then my last year came, or the year before my last year came, I went home for the summer. I had a girlfriend at the time. Married now, right? But I didn't have a car. So I asked my sister to let me borrow her car. And she did one time. But she said I had to put gas in it. And I was like, that's crazy. Put gas in your car? No. Like, it's full. And I didn't go that far. Anyway. And then my mom let me borrow her car one time. And I was just like, no, I'm good. I got to go get a car. And then I was like, shoot, how am I going to get a car with no job? And then I had some money saved up, and I just took a leap of faith. I bought that car with no job. My mom co-signed for it, and I said, listen, I appreciate you. When I get to school, I'll figure it out, and I'm going to get your name off this car as soon as I can. And then I think I had that car for 11 months before I got rid of it. I sold it, and I went and bought another car. And when I got the second car, it was a Jeep. I didn't have a job lined up. This was after graduation. I didn't have a job lined up after my summer camp. So right towards the end, I started figuring out budgeting, right? Like, how I'm gonna make this money last so I don't lose my truck. So the first thing I did was budget. Like, I knew basic math and accounting and stuff like that, but I never had to deal with a finite sum of money lasting. So I figured out budgeting first, and then I got a job offer for State Farm, and we started talking about like bank products and IRAs and annuities and stuff like that. And I didn't know none of this stuff. So I started learning about all of that stuff. And the thing that stuck out to me was a retirement account. I was like, wait, you can start your retirement account early? I'm just like, wait, why didn't anybody tell me this? Like, I didn't know nothing. And so I had the budgeting, and then I had the general financial curiosity. The switch for me happened when I moved out my mom's house. Because when I moved out, I told myself two things. I'm never moving back because I'll never admit defeat, right? And I got to move her in with me at some point in time, or at least make it an option. And from that point on, I basically would get mad at myself for anything I didn't do or didn't know. And I just self-taught myself. And I had a job in leasing. I was leasing apartments and stuff. And every day on my lunch break, I'd be in my 401k. I would be reading like the prospectus agreements. I'd be checking the performance. I would be looking at the words that I didn't understand on the charts and then Googling them and then teaching myself. And so that kind of flipped that switch of, okay, let me take control. But where the numbers really started making sense to me is when I left my job in leasing and I got into a finance job working in operations. And my third day, I processed, I think it was a wire. I was sending a wire out, and I want to say it was like $4 million. And I was like, that's a lot of dollars. And I was like, yo, I got to ask somebody what's going on here. And from that point on, man, it's just been uphill. I was investing. I was educating myself. I was getting savvy, meeting people, mentors. So for me, seeing somebody, you know, where at the time we're talking maybe 15 years older than me, just moving that kind of money, I was just like, that is insane. And so for me, I was just like, well, if they can do it, why can't I? Like, why can't I have that type of money? And so I just took a step back and I, you know, just really started educating myself, self-taught, like I said, and, you know, started investing, started following stocks. But I mean, it's like one of those things, if you get it, you get it. And if you don't, you don't. But it's got to be why you're motivated to do it, I think, that gets you started. And for me, it was, you know, I say never moving back into my mom's house and, you know, move her in with me at some point. I think that really boils down to me wanting to figure out finances because it can allow me to spend more time with my family while also taking care of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's my motivation. So that's why I'm always, you know, trying to get to a dollar. You know, what's the next business I can invest in or stock that I can invest in? Because at the end of the day, I mean, I can tell you guys some crazy, crazy things right now on how money really works. And you'd be like, that's insane. Like, it's crazy. And if you reverse engineer those concepts, which I do when I like have like consultations with people, I say, all right, you want to get to here? Let me show you how this starts now. And you see that fire light up in their eyes because it's a realization that they can do pretty much anything that they want to do if they just, you know, reposition themselves and think about it.
Yeah.
And when I did that for me, it all makes sense. And I haven't really looked back. And I mean, I say that like it was a long time ago, but I mean, that was 2015. I just started in finance in 2015.
Damn.
Actually, no, that's not true. 2017. 2015 is when I started in apartments.
It's 4 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm about to hit 2 years at my current firm, and I did 2 years and some change at my previous firm. Yep. 4 years.
Not a lot in 4 years, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's crazy. So. I mean, listen, man, I did some crazy things. I'm going to wait till the end and drop some of the craziest things that has ever happened in finance. But yeah, man, pay attention to your bank. It's a lot to be left on the table if you don't pay attention.
That's super true. I mean, you got to be active in it.
And absolutely. Like
you
said,
you just have to take the time. Or you have to like have that like thing that's driving you to really push to be able to want to learn those things. Because I actually feel more so that it's something that everybody is capable of learning, but it's just a matter of like, do you care enough for like, is it something that you really want to do? I think everybody should be. I mean, unfortunately, money is something that is like a necessary evil. So like, you should know how to work it to the best of your ability. You should know how to get it to work for you. So that you're not necessarily just always working for your money. So definitely an inspiring story, man. Definitely makes me feel like I need to get all my stuff because I ain't read no prospectuses of like anything. So
I mean, there are easier ways to learn, I'll tell you that, but you just gotta have a genuine curiosity, honestly. Because that's what's gonna drive. I feel like that genuine curiosity is what's gonna drive you to keep at it, you know, keep reading, keep trying. You know, you might lose here and there, but you know, that genuine curiosity on how do I get better, how do I make this work? If you keep at it, you know, discipline, sharpen the steel, you'll get at it. But I feel like if you don't have that, it's gonna be very difficult for you to be, you know, motivated because, you know, like I say, I'm a long-term investor. So, you know, I think way, way ahead. You know, I bought my first house and I'm already thinking about my third one. So, you know, I think way in advance. Like by the time I actually get to the thing that I'm doing, I'm already working on the thing that comes after. Everything is going according to plan because I will it to be that way. But, you know, I keep moving. I move at a very high pace, try to turn things over as fast as possible and get to the next thing. Just dedication, man. Dedication, curiosity. Man.
And actually, to just shift gears really quickly and staying on the word curiosity, kind of what we were saying before with everybody being in the house and everybody being more so like locked up and you have time to really do research and sit down and dig in and lock in on some of the things that are happening in the world or to be able to even, you know, share stories about things that people you never thought you would have, you know, you would have shared. Prime example is a situation I don't know if you're familiar with, but there were some allegations that came out against like T.I. and Tiny about them having some sexual misconduct along with some like assault and like a lot of different things with some
no safe word problem.
Right. You know, with some young women. And how does everybody feel about that? Is this something that are you surprised to hear that T.I. is involved in some sort of trouble again, even though he's, you know, labeled trouble?
Even though he's trouble, man. To speak out on it, I think that it's kind of disheartening because going back and like I've always been a T.I. fan. Like even when he first came out with the
I think most of us are
the large vocabulary. I was like, yeah, T.I., you hood, ain't got the vocab. Respect, man, extraordinary. I was always a fan, but then like I don't know. I think there just came a time where the more I listened to him talk after the whole I'm checking up on my daughter's hymen, it kind of just like, you know, slowly just got real weird, like my viewpoint of him. So. Hearing this come out, it's like, because this is basically R. Kelly level. Like, he's bringing people into the hotel, snatching their phone, drugging them up. Yo, you ain't got no pants on. You can't, allegedly. You can't stay in the hotel. We'll violate you, kick you out. Allegedly. You know, got to put the little sprinkle in there. But, like, it's really disheartening that when you look at so many celebrities, they don't have any, like, cognitive, empathetic reasoning to do like the wild shit that they're doing. It's like, I'm a celebrity, I can do whatever I want, I'm gonna get away with it. And it's kind of it's fucking wild.
There's also some truth to that as well, though. Like what you said, like there's a lot of times where like people will see celebrities and they're just like, oh, that's just so and so. Like, let's look the other way, as opposed to like any other regular citizen. It's just that, I mean, when you're revered or people admire you for whatever it is that you do, they don't see you as being somebody who's a regular figure, and you can get away with doing things like that. But I mean, you got to even think, like, there's people who go through situations with people that they know, or people that are regular, or people that you like aren't famous, and they don't ever report those stories or tell anybody about them. So imagine how much harder it is to come out and be like, yo, like T.I. and Tiny, who have a show on TV, who has platinum albums. Like, is anybody really gonna believe my story if I come out and like talk about like somebody who's famous? Like, people are gonna be on the side of the famous person. That's what most people probably think. So, I mean, I wouldn't sit here and be like, oh, well, like, it's wild. But like, no, it makes a lot of sense, actually, why they get away with the things they get away with, because a lot of people have that fear.
And see, my whole thing is I can never really justify anything that they do, because I'm just like, back to the finances, right? I'm like, you did it. You're successful. You made it. You don't have nothing else you could be doing with your time? Like, nothing? Like, go on a shopping spree. I know you didn't bust down the whole store. Do it again. They got new inventory. They just restocked from the last time. You have time and opportunity to do anything, and that's what you do?
Yeah.
Bruh, go. Oh, I'm just like, you know, every time I see it, I'm like, bro, why?
I'm telling you.
If you sit down and like,
it never
makes sense. If you listen to the allegations, it's like, yeah, they were having a threesome, and if the girl was into it too much, Tiny would fight him, and if she fought back, T.I. would jump in with a gun. It's like what is this?
T.I. a convicted felon? Why does he have guns?
That's what put him in the first place.
Like, off top, like, yeah.
I wish I had a graphic so that when I did my hands like this, why? Because I tell you, when I read that, I was, nope. It doesn't make any
sense. Yeah, it was kind of just like, yeah, all right, man.
Whatever they say he did that shit. I don't know. Like, yeah. Like, just like,
he said, Joe, yeah, he did that shit.
Yeah, I'm just like, yo, if you had that type of time in your hands, like, all right, listen, I get it. You might have your desires, but no. Just not this. No, absolutely not. No. There's no justification. So, you know, I can never reasonably understand why. So like how they end up in these situations, why they choose to give these situations their time. Like any celebrity, any situation, like, you know, people saying like, oh, Kevin Hart was being blackmailed. I'm like, why was he there? I like, he should have been home. He should have been at the club. He should have been recording another stand-up. Anything, right? So I always think the why, like, you don't have something else to be doing. I got a ton of stuff that I need to be doing, and I don't make nearly as much as y'all. And you telling me as much as y'all make, y'all not occupied 24/7 making sure you keep making that money? I'll tell you one goddamn thing. If something like this come out with The Rock, I'm rioting. I'm shutting everything down. I know that The Rock is way too busy, but if a scandal come out against him,
that'd be crazy.
I'm gonna be your next conspiracy theorist. I'm gonna think somebody's out to get somebody, because that man is way too busy. So I just wonder, like, how these celebrities have this type of time? It's crazy.
Boredom always gets you in trouble. When you ain't got nothing else to do, when you was like a kid, bored, when you start knocking shit over, and then your mom give you a beating. It's like,
right,
that's what happens.
But you're bored and rich. Never
knock things over.
Yeah, you're bored and rich. Go buy something. Not threesome, gun, punch, fight, combo. What the? This sounds like a poorly scripted amateur flick. That's what it sounds like. Low production here.
And speaking of low production, there's also been another trend that has been going on the internet of these young women. Well, let me not say young women, but women.
You can call them young or old.
Just women in general.
Women in general.
Been taking part in a silhouette challenge that I think is great. Like, I ain't never mad at no challenges. You know what I mean? Like, especially of like that nature, whether it's the Buster challenge or silhouette challenge. There's been this. I've also seen some tweets where it's been like, hey, like, ladies, don't forget that, like, you know, there's people can, you know, take the red out of your filter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your video is very, you know, visible and exposed, if you didn't know. And I feel like I also saw a lot of women who were upset about that and like things that were happening in that regard. And I could completely understand why, you know, they would be upset, because you don't want somebody to take, you know, your content and change it into something you didn't anticipate. But I'm also a firm believer that if you do decide to put something on the internet, you're liable for just about anything to happen to that content. Whether it be it gets doctored, it gets edited. If you put that in, if you put that information out there, it's data at the end of the day, and it could be manipulated and changed to be whatever people want it to be. I don't know. That's just how I feel. I feel like if you're worried about that being a thing, then maybe just don't like post videos of you dancing seductively nudely in your bathroom doorway. But I don't know how anybody else feels about that. But that was just me.
Bryce, that's bad. They have to do it. Like, they were challenged. It's almost like the ALS challenge, you know?
I don't think they're similar at all, actually. I actually didn't see anybody tag anybody. I think this is one of those things where it was like, oh, somebody did a challenge. I think I can do it. And I think I'm gonna look pretty good when I do it. Let me go ahead and do it and see what type of love I get. And that's cool. Like, I mean, you know, like if you look good, or like if you feel like you look good, or you feel good about yourself, do those things, like post your content. But at the end of the day, like, do not be surprised, because there are perverted people out here, not just like even men. There are perverted women out here as well, too. But there are perverted people in general who are looking for opportunities where they can come up and get whatever they want out of a situation. So, like, you know, maybe don't give those people that fuel that they're looking for. It's just kind of how I feel sometimes. So, yeah, man, I just feel like ladies, you know, I love the challenge.
It's different, though. It's different, right? Because it's like, it's not OnlyFans, right? So, like, all right, let me back it up for people, you know, start attacking me in my DMs, right? I'm not saying it makes it justifiable, right?
Not at all.
Not the same level of betrayal of someone screen recording your public Twitter versus hacking your paid OnlyFans. You feel me?
Right.
Right. But at the same time, I just think, you know, you just got to understand what you, I just feel like you have to understand the inherent risk, because yes, it would be ideal to live in a non-perverted world where people could just share openly and freely, and that just be the end of it. I hope that happens one day. Maybe, you know, from a mental health perspective, I feel like, you know, the more people we can just have open and honest with themselves about whatever it is that they feel they need to identify as or portray or show, you know, it'd be good. But we don't live in those times, and it, you know, the internet is undefeated, and there's a sick side to the internet. So I feel like, you know, you kind of know what you're getting yourself into. Yeah, you could be mad, probably would be upset, you know, if you was like showing up at a party and your homeboy had your video saved on his phone and he removed the red light filter, which that in and of itself is sick, because then you're starting to alter the content. And, you know, I'm not saying like, you know, that's cool. But like, bro, that's not a watermark. You don't just go taking that off, right? That, yeah. You didn't remove the challenge. At this point, you just look, you're a little nasty. You feel me? You didn't remove the whole challenge from it. But I mean, the internet, man, what a place to be. I try not to spend too much time on it. You know, my thing is, I discovered these challenges by accident. Like, I got to stop hitting the trending page. That's what it is. I'm like, what the hell is this? And see, I would know if I had, like, if I actively was on TikTok, I'd see these things coming and be like, all right, don't click that. Not what we want.
TikTok is a wild, wild.
I don't have TikTok.
Hey, here's the thing. The silhouette challenge was growing for me because the very first one I opened belonged on a nudie site. That's all I'm saying. It wasn't just one person silhouette. It was an act being performed in a silhouette. And I said, you know what? But that's enough Twitter for today.
I'm out. Just got here.
I shut the app down. I left. I can't even open the app right now because I'm afraid it's going to refresh to the silhouette challenge. I'm going to give it a couple days. I ain't been on Twitter since. I don't have time for it. That's all I'm saying. But I hope that, you know, if someone removed that red filter, that the people that participated in that, they know they got themselves into. Because, I mean, the internet's a nasty place, man. The internet's a nasty place.
I feel like on the internet, you got to be in control of your content. Like, mm-hmm. you have to make the decision to make the content, and no matter what the consequences are, you did this and you have to take responsibility.
Yeah, that's your brand. Your social media presence is your brand.
So if your brand is, you know, I'm gonna follow these trends, I'm gonna do these challenges. If somebody exposes you, that's unfortunately the price that you gotta pay. It's fucking up. But hey,
I feel like you can do the silhouette challenge though. With like, you know, if you're worried about that, you can definitely do it with a decent amount of clothing and like.
Still, I was gonna say there was one apparently where the guy was like, yeah, like they were talking about it and they were saying like, yeah, people aren't ass naked. Like, y'all know y'all don't have to get ass naked for the challenge. It's a silhouette, not a naked challenge.
Right.
It's a silhouette. He can be fully dressed. It still counts as a silhouette. Nobody told him to get ass naked.
The sad part is some people don't know what a silhouette is. They just think they need to be naked.
They think, I'm pretty sure some people think the silhouette is what they're wearing. They're like, oh, it's lingerie. That's a new word for silhouette? No. Turn the lights on, baby. First of all, why y'all keep using red? Just put a light behind you. Boom, silhouette. There you go.
That's it.
Give her a red filter. Why y'all buying up red light bulbs? Like, I have way too many issues with the internet. And I'm just so, you know, that's how I feel about the silhouette challenge. But, you know, again, that's the price you pay.
No, that's for real. That's for real. Alistair, man, I know that you're a man of great taste and great talent. So can you do me a huge favor?
What's that?
Can you provide us with this week's this or that?
This or that.
All right. So, this or that, you have no idea what they're going to be.
All that's the problem.
And play the game. Are you ready?
Yeah, man.
All right, let's go. So it's an easy one. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Chiefs or the Bucks?
Chiefs. Baby goat. Baby goat Mahomes finds a way to do it.
Baby goat Mahomes. That's fair. That's fair. Better mixtape. You say Bucks?
Okay.
All right. It's a toss-up for me, but we'll see.
I say Bucks because I feel like Brady will out-read Mahomes when it comes to playing against each other's defenses. Mm-hmm. It'll be a shootout, though.
Yeah, I definitely see a high, high line. Better mixtape, Acid Rap or The Drought 3?
The Drought 3. Come on, man.
Bryce, like, you are a Wayne fan. We understand it, Bryce. But if you really sit and analyze that question, it's harder than you think.
No, Acid Rap is fire. Don't get me wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
Acid Rap is very fire.
But there's two different, there's two different vibes and sounds.
And that as well, too. But, like, if you put me in that box, then I mean.
All right. Well, you know me. I'm a number guy. So, statistically speaking, I'm going to have to go with. I'm gonna have to go with the Drought, man. It did numbers. It's throwing numbers. It's always gonna do numbers. Drought three.
Okay. Next question. Who has a better music catalog? Wale or Travis Scott?
Lyrically or just hits?
Hey, is this or that?
He said whatever is this or that. Wow.
If I had to play an entire party. I'm going Travis. Travis is going. Well,
I gotta go. I gotta go.
Wale.
I really want to go Wale. I really do. But like, I do. But I feel like Wale doesn't have even. Does Wale have a sicko mode though? Like, you know what I mean? But Wale has really like really good, like great music. Like, you're not getting me wrong. I don't want people to think that I do not follow Wale's music because Wale is
the type of music you put on for the fact that it's good music. You put Travis on most of his stuff because you're trying to create a vibe that isn't currently happening.
Right.
Like Travis is the flip of the coin. Wale is just you turning up the volume a little bit.
Okay. I mean, but I feel like you got to take into so many things into account. Like, we're really going, like, if we're going, like, Billboard hits, then, I mean, you're going to end up on the Travis side just because, like.
Yeah, but Travis, he'll flip a switch. You play one of the songs in the choir room is going up.
Wale got some sneaky Billboards, so don't get it twisted.
Nah, he does.
I think Wale gets
versus
Travis.
I have no answer.
I stomped him.
Versus. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Better 90s beauty. Halle Berry, Jada Pinkett Smith.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're a Bama. I actually don't like this.
I do, but I'm getting better at these jokes. I'm trying to tell you, dog. It's this and that.
For me, Hallie has always had.
I'm gonna go with Hallie.
The cougar.
I'm gonna go with Hallie.
Hallie has always had the cougar vibe, right? Like the mom next door type vibe to her. Like, ooh, she might put it down. I'm gonna have to go with Jada because I feel like a lot more people felt like they saw Jada out on the streets because of like she was messed with Tupac and stuff. They could pull a Jada, you know what I mean? So for me, I would say like Jada, I'd say she was the better 90s beauty because she was on her own level, but she felt like relatable. Like I felt like even in the 90s, Halle Berry was just like, you kind of felt like she was always,
yeah.
Secret, like not even top shelf. Like she was always reserved. Like, nah, bro. Like, you know, you wouldn't even know how to get an introduction to Halle in the 90s. Like that's how crazy it was. But Jada, you just go to the performing arts school, you see it.
You see it. I feel like, yeah, like you say, I always feel like Hallie was just kind of like, man, like at the like anytime anybody made a reference to like, you know, their life and like I'm gonna end up with me with like with a Halle Berry. I'm gonna get with Halle Berry. Like, granted, like Jada definitely did her thing in like the 90s and she was amazing in so many films. I really loved her as fucking, what was it? As Stoney in fucking and Set It Off. But like, you know, like I don't know, yeah. Hallie got my vote, man. That's my
Either way, I ain't mad at it. I understand how you get there.
Can't lose. Last two. Cool Ranch Doritos or nacho cheese?
Man, it really depends on what bag I'm in. No, like no pun intended either, but like it depends on what type of bag I'm in. Oh man.
Cool Ranch.
Okay. And the last one to end it out. Would you rather go to a Project X party or a house party like the movie party?
Like the 90s show?
Yeah. Project X is once a lifetime. That's all.
Yeah, Project X.
Yeah, but I'm trying to be in the jump. Like, you see, like.
I mean, I feel like.
Yeah, Project X, man.
I feel like Project X is the party we all want to go to that we never been to, right?
That's true.
I feel like house party is what we think we're experiencing when we in our zone and we in them house party. I'd be like, yeah, like we all vibing. And then, you know, I realized, nah, we all fucking trash in here, but it's all good.
It's all good.
But like, you know, the parties that I go to, when I get in my zone, I feel like I'm at a house party like the movie. So I say Project X. I ain't never been to a party where I felt like I was going to make it out. You know what I mean?
Post Rona, there has to be at least like 20.
Post Rona is going to be so nasty.
We got to get there.
Skip the first weekend.
He says skip the first one. We got
to. Everything's going to be overpriced. You're only going to be able to hit one move because you ain't going to be able to leave because it's going to be too long of a line at the next spot. That first weekend is going to be crazy. Shoot, I'm trying to get this Arctic House reservation. I'm trying to do something different.
Yeah, Arctic House is always definitely like packed.
Yeah, see, that's definitely the thing, man. They let you rent out the whole space.
Oh, for real?
I don't like being next to people in public. So
I know what you mean.
I want the whole place to myself, please. Thank you. So that's what I'm looking at right now. But yeah, man, it's gonna be nasty when outside open up for real. I hope they keep them little individual bubbles for real. I want that post. I needed that before COVID. That's what I needed.
You needed the social distancing before.
Yeah, COVID. I like it. I like people not being sitting next to me while I'm eating dinner. Like, it feels so different. But now I'm like, why would somebody ever elbow distance from my table?
Right? Yeah.
If I could elbow your water, no. We was too close to begin with. I feel like, yo, COVID is crazy, right? But I feel like it made me think about a lot of the things. I'm just like, yo. Why is this man in line 2 feet off my back? Like, and before, you'd be like, yeah, that's fine. Like, nah, like, you mad close, dog. Like, back up.
You need to back up. Like, give me 5 feet.
So, like, COVID kind of brought things into perspective. I'm like, man, y'all really wasn't using hand sanitizer like this before, huh? Y'all real dirty.
People weren't washing their hands before, man.
What? Oh, man. Realizing people don't know how to cover their mouth when they cough. You see them struggling. Like, I'd be like, hey, yo, you missed. You just coughed in that kid's face. Like, yo.
The whole space down here.
And I'm excited because one of the things I do miss is one of my things is I do business brunches. So I usually go out to brunch. We get washed. And I do this PTP, right? Path to Profitability. People will just pitch me their business ideas, tell me where they at, and I tell them how you get from where you are to the point of profitability, right? So that is one thing I am looking forward to doing again when COVID is up. But man, I tell you, them first couple weekends, it's gonna be nasty, bro. It's gonna be real nasty.
Old Tamarack Black Crunch would be excellent right now, though. I'm not gonna lie. Good old brunch.
I can't wait for all that to come back.
It'll be a good time.
Need it. We definitely need brunches. They were important. They made the week that much better.
Right.
You know, and then you come home and you go to sleep at like 6.
I was going
to
say, what's an appropriate amount of time to spend at brunch? Because I feel like that's, for whatever reason, that's still up for debate.
I feel like if you end up going around like noon, like realistically, like you could be out from like it depends. If you're going to a day party too, then yeah, that changes things. But like,
let's say all right, not a brunch day party, but just
brunch.
Just like even if you go to a bar or whatever, you start at brunch and you don't leave that bar. It's not the day party type. It's a day party that happened to serve brunch. I mean, you go in for brunch and you have in bottomless. How long is reasonable to stay?
Okay, so I think anywhere between 12 to like maybe like 3.
Oh, I'm fucking up, dude.
I feel like an NFL game.
I'll get there around 11 and get home around 5.
Now, I feel like it really depends on like the vibe. But for the most part, like I said, if I get there like around 12, I'm not really trying to be out there past like maybe like 4. You know what I mean? Unless we're about to like go to like a day party or something. Then like, okay, like, yeah, we can go to the day party. But now after a certain point, I'm like, if there's music playing too at the spot that we're at already, that's different as well, too.
Just don't stand in no tables, you know what I mean?
Yeah, apparently we can't do that no more. You know, it reflects poorly on the culture.
Yeah, it does.
Definitely. But, man, Nation, this was a great episode, man. I'm glad that you were able to come through and we finally got it right because we had a whole bunch of time and scheduling issues before. But thank you, man, for
I'm glad we got it done.
For sure. And is there anything that you want to leave like the people with? You want to give them your social medias? You want to give them some advice? You want to tell them where they can find you?
I'll say the socials for last. Let's see. What's something easy, people? Should I give them something easy to think about? Okay. So what we were talking about on our call about how you can get paid off of having good credit that you don't need to use. What you can do is you can do like trade lines, essentially, right? So a trade line is basically when you add someone to your credit card as an authorized user, right? The reason being is they get to piggyback off of your credit card for the length of history that you have and your good history, right? They get to piggyback off of that, so they can then go out and get good credit in their own name, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't really know about that. So, like, sometimes, you know, you might have an authorized user. Most people put, like, their significant other on there, or they might put a family member on there, and they might, like, you know, all right, you're an authorized user. I'm going to give you the card. You can use this limit, pay me back, yada, yada, yada. They use it as intended, but, there's a website, actually, it's tradelinesupply.com, right? You can go on there and basically, you know, they'll tell you that, you know, you sign up, get an email, it's free to get the, like, email or whatnot, right? They'll send you a rate sheet. And based on, like, what your credit limit is and how long that credit card has been open, if it's one you're not using, you know, you can make, on a low end, if you can get, like, 4 people on a credit card, you can make, like, so you can make about $200 every 2 months on a low end on your credit card. But depending on how high the limit is, you can make a couple thousand dollars a year. And that's just for that one credit card. You know, if you have 4 or 5 credit cards, and you're only using one or two, right? If you're responsible, you could potentially, depending on if you have the right cars and stuff like that, you have to go through their vetting process. But yeah, you can make money like that. You know, there's some more advanced strategies, like, you know, you can do manufactured spending, which is, you know, hitting certain reward card categories to get the reward points and stuff, and cashing out on the cash back and stuff like that. I mean, there's just a lot of ways to really get creative, you know, financially. Like I said, I'd save it to the end, but like one of the craziest things is like people don't even know how much money you can make by like not spending your money, right? So what I say is, like, if you're an investor, it's good. I say you should always be trying to build up your assets, right? So I'm going to give you an example here. Basically, when you start investing, if you hit a certain threshold, you can get what's basically a securities-backed line of credit, right? It's a line of credit that is secured against your investment account, right? Why they would give you this is because they typically make money off of what you have invested, right? So say, so like prime example, one of the brokerages I use for portfolios is M1 Finance, right? It's not a plug, not sponsored by them, but you can go look this up. If you have $10,000 in your investment account, they will loan you $3,000, right? Against that. So you'll have 10 invested, they'll give you a $3,000 loan, and then you can pay back that $3,000 without losing anything from your $10,000, as long as the value of your account doesn't fall. Mm-hmm. Now, to the average person, that might just sound like, well, I mean, that's a $3,000 loan, yada, yada, yada. Now, here's the thing. This is something really crazy, but I feel like a lot of the audience, or a good majority of the audience, might be in what, the DMV area, roughly, yeah, give or take. So I'm going to give them something really relative. Not too long ago, up in Maryland, Western Maryland, not too far from where we went to college, somebody hit that Mega Million lottery a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm, right? I can't even remember how large the number is, but it's going to be a couple hundred M's. So say hypothetically, we'll use a base number after taxes, because they're going to have a lot left over. But after taxes, say they have $300 million left over, right? If you took that $300 million and you took out a 2% line of credit, right? That would give you $6 million line of credit, right? The reason why I say the way money works is so crazy, if you want to know how like some wealthy people stay rich, is because if I'm a client, what I'm going to do is, if I have $300 million, and you can water this down, right? So it doesn't have to be astronomical. It doesn't have to be millions. You can apply this at 10,000, 50,000, 100,000, whatever that number is where you can get a line of credit, right? But here's the thing. If you take $300 million and you take a 2% line of credit out, that's going to be a $6 million line of credit, right? That's a lot of money. But here's the thing. You just took out $6 million that you can spend, and you left your $300 million in the market, you left it invested. At the safest return, or we'll even say the market return, the market typically generates 8% a year. We'll be super conservative and we'll say it returns you 5% for the year, right? It's going to return you $15 million that year. So you had $300 million that you put in, you took out a $6 million line of credit, and your investment account return that $300 million made $15 million. So you might be wondering how all this is connected, right? What the wealthy will often do is they will figure out a way to keep all their annual expenses at $6 million or less, because their $300 million is making them so much money that it is enough money to pay off the $6 million at the end of the year, right? And still put $9 million extra in the account. They don't spend their own money. You feel me? So it's like, if you can water that down. So that's why I say, like, it's really important for you to invest, because if you invest and you grow your assets and everything that you own to a nice sizable level, you can get to a point where the bank will be like, listen, we would rather loan you the money at a safe rate. And mind you, like, actually, there's a video, this guy, Meet Kevin, very famous on YouTube. He has an M1 account. He actually walks people through how he borrowed, I think it was like $1 million from M1 against his portfolio. But the crazy thing is, and I didn't even mention it, I've seen people with lines of credit for $4 or $5 million, but what they pay back on it is the same as my mortgage, which is nowhere near $1 million, right? It's so much cheaper to borrow money that's secured by things you own. But the key is to build the things you own so you can get more money from the bank that you can now live for free while letting your money continue to work for you. You feel me? So yeah. For me, if I win 300 mil, I'm probably going to spend 25 upfront, just wilding, right? Wilding, buy all the things I want, all my assets, but you can live off that money and never touch it, right?
Yeah.
But if you water that concept down, that's why I say this is the trickle down effect, right? If you don't know how to budget, that's not going to work. If you don't have discipline in picking your investment strategy and sticking to it, and you're always trying to sell, right? That's not going to work. So, you know, for me, I would say the best thing that people can do right now, starting today, is educate themselves financially, right? Look into what a brokerage account is. Look up what a retirement account is. Look up dividend stocks. Look up ETFs. Do your research, right? Because the one thing that you can never make up in the market is time, right? You'll never get back the gains you could have had if you invested 20 years ago. You might be able to return those gains, but you'll never get credit for being invested 20 years ago. So, you know, the only way to play the game is to get in the game, right? So you got to do your research. You got to be disciplined. So for me, I would say the first thing to do is, you know, start with a budget, start with a discipline. And then from there, educate yourself on the things you don't know. If there's stock news and you don't understand the terms, investopedia.com. It's a great resource. It gives you a definition of how it works. And then it gives you easy to digest examples of when that thing might, you know, play out. So like prime example, a lot of people didn't know what was going on with GameStop. You go over to Investopedia and you start looking at those terms like a short squeeze, yada, yada, yada. And then very quickly you realize, oh, I know who's going to lose this war. The big guns, right? So I would say for me, that's something that people can do. So I say, you know, you got to be financially savvy. It's not all about being financially literate. A credit score isn't everything. And if you're financially savvy, man, you can make it, you know, you can do some crazy things once you become financially savvy, right? So like my first house, I had this built, right? Mm. I had a total down payment because I did the first time I had to put down 3%, right? However, of that 3%, I only put down a third of that. So I only put down 1%. The other 2% that I needed, my job paid for. And then I left and I didn't pay any of that money back. That's not literate. That's savvy. That's where I play. You know what I'm saying? I play on, okay, well, this is what you're trying to do. Let me show you all the ways we can get there. Right. And let's see which one can make the most money. So, you know, just that's being financially savvy. That's where I play the field. Right. So, yes, we can talk basic finances, but for me, I'm always trying to make, you know, my money work for me, work a little bit harder, stuff like that. But yeah, that's pretty much what I would leave the people with. You got to start somewhere. You got to be curious and, you know, just stay dedicated, you know, stay disciplined. Don't give up. And then, you know, if you have any questions, I've been hesitant. So a lot of people have reached out to me and said, like, are you going to like do a webinar or something like that? And for me, no, I'm not probably not going to do that. Because my thing is I don't like giving advice to people I can't help. Right. I don't ever want to tell you what you should have did. If I can't give you something that you can put into effect right now that's going to better your situation, I'm going to turn you away. I'm not the best person to help you, and I can admit that. So I kind of take my things one-on-one. But if people are serious and they want that consultation, they can just hit me up on Instagram at The Sovereign Wolf. But yeah, that's pretty much me, man. So I do my things one-on-one. I got a couple things in the pipeline coming out that, you know, I'll be doing some more things, maybe taking more consultations, but you know, I'm open to it. I'm open to it. Maybe I just need to get on a podcast and give more financial advice on a reoccurring basis. So we'll see, you know, we'll see.
Hey man, if you want to do a finance podcast, I'd be honored to produce it for you, man. If you really
want. But see, that's the thing. Like, I don't want it to be finance. I just want it to be like crazy things you didn't know about finance. You know what I mean? Not necessarily getting into money, but like, you know, how you can, you know, live for free. Like, I know I got all the plugs on Instagram, by the way. So like, if people really trying to get some side hustles, I got some guys that got some courses out. They, you know, vetted. You know, it's courses that, you know, I'm planning on getting into for that aspect, but it's a lot of money to be made. So, you know, I'm down to help the people, you know, point in the right direction.
All right. We'd love to hear it. Thank you. Appreciate it, Sovereign Wolf. Alistair, can you hit the people with your Stairs to Greatness for this week?
Absolutely. This week's Stairs to Greatness is, if you properly take care of the present, the future will take care of itself. Think about it. You can follow me on Instagram, Stairs to Greatness. Follow me on TikTok, AlistairMcLean21. I would just like to say this because I feel like the Good Morning Football crew was really irresponsible for giving this narrative any bit of fuel to this fire. Scotty Miller is nowhere close to being as fast as Tyreek Hill. Squash that. Don't believe it. Don't listen to
them. Yeah, they was wilding with them.
Any oxygen.
I didn't know they said that.
Yeah, exactly. Don't waste your time. It was wild.
The whole table agreed with Nate Burleson's take that saying, yeah, he's never been ran down before. Listen, Tyreek Hill is someone who in track is considered extremely fast. So if he's in track extremely fast, if he's on the football field, he's the fastest person in the league. Scotty Miller, shut up and sit down. Like, you're a six-round pick, bro.
Isn't Scotty Relax. Miller? Doesn't Scotty Miller have a really impressive 40 time as well, too, though? Isn't he like a 4-3?
Yeah,
like
a 4-3 to a 4-2.
It's not as good as hit. It's not as good.
Okay.
4-3 to 4-2 is a big difference, Bryce. You know how speed works, bro. Okay, you know how speed works.
I'm just all right. Saying, man.
Also, I'd like to give a special shout-out to Thea LaFon. She had her season opening in triple jump, smashed that jump. She actually held the number one spot in the world for like a few days, and now she got knocked down to 19. But that's still in the entire world. So, all my track fam, much love for y'all getting back out there. Like, it's really dope seeing all y'all competing. Edos, I seen you too. We were chopping it up. And I just got to say, also, shout out to Dan Peters. He's a guy who detailed my car. He did a pretty good job. So, you know, if you need detailing in the DMV area, specifically Silver Spring, they'll hook you up.
Is that a black owned business?
Huh?
Is that a black owned business? Ooh, man.
See, I wasn't going to get into all that, but
we're going to have a conversation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, that's a cool dude, though.
I feel you.
I got you with a guy. Right.
Oh, Black, say no more. Say no more. Dan, you're out of here. Boom.
He's legit black hole. He's been doing my cars for years. 6-star detailing. He's the truth. He do more than detailing. He get your rims right, permanently coated. Like, I mean, real rim coat, all that detail, paint, tint. He's a man, black hole, great guy, great service.
Hey. Also, the podcast is about to go into the do-rag wave. So if you need do-rags, hold on. I didn't have this one ready. If you need do-rags, hit up, drum roll. Trust me. It's okay. I'm coming.
Take time.
Hit up silkydurag.com. Silkydurag.com.
Oh, you can remember. Remember that off top of that. Off top of your desk. Hey, no,
but here's the thing: like he was thinking. He was. Look, to his defense, you know, he it's Silky Durag, but he was thinking wavy. He was thinking wavy.
I just, a lot of do rags are made of silk, so that's
why. But he was thinking wavy, man. I don't know.
No, I'm messing with you, man. I forget things all the time.
I know. It's all love. And as I always close out the podcast, we are a vehicle. You guys are the wheels. We're not going anywhere without you. Thank you for the support. Thank you for always listening and tuning in. Co-host.
I don't have anything profound to say. As always, I just, now that I'm on the verge of getting my gun, if it's up, then it's stuck. So, I mean, you know, just... Make sure you're not in the way, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm
going to
be...
Oh, my
allegedly.
God.
Allegedly.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be lit. I'm going to start shooting music videos, too.
Oh, I imagine that.
Man, we're going to share we're gonna share the one gun, though, because I know, like, in a lot of other rap videos, there's, like, everybody has their own, but we don't have
it. Here you go, your turn.
So, yeah. We'll share. But, yeah, you can follow me on social media at Young Tamarack on Twitter, YoungTamarack. And then on Instagram, it's Kofi Bryce _ KofiBryce _. And as always, we always have music from a local artist or artist that we really enjoy their sound. So this week, you're going to hear the live version of a song from Quest called Paradise off his latest album, Johnny Quest. This has been another week of the AMB podcast. We appreciate y'all for listening. Peace.
We out.
See ya.
Shout it out from a jungle tree. Ay, tell the world about it so they all can see. Ay, what it really means to be in love. Baby, you can always be my company. Ay, we'll be through the pretty and the ugly. Ay, just giving me a jacuzzi and some bubbly. Ay, baby, throw your feet on me to run. You deserve it, girl, you working. I am certain I'm a person to your person. Ay, I need a surgeon to convert this to a version of a whole new me. I do believe that we could. Last forever, we're supposed to be together. Girl, you know you make me better, ayy. Can't keep it low, cause you take me high. When I'm next to you, baby, I can fly. I open up my heart and let you inside. So girl, without you, I think I would die.
I got this feeling and it's weighing on me. I can't eat and baby, I cannot sleep. Cause you have got me so gone. We won't come back for weeks. Your love is paradise, I don't wanna leave.
Let's get away, go to a better place. Don't you hesitate, I really wanna levitate. Look, I don't got no fools like a loose tie. Ay, stay with me and we can fly to Dubai. Ay, baby, it's a process all in due time. Ay, and later we can check it like a shoot sign. Ay, I think I should marry you a few times. Ay, just so that you know that baby, you mine. Ay,
let's go hit the beach. You so into me, I'm so into you. What we finna do, we can really move. I don't wanna stop. My Pocahontas, I can see your chance. I know you are conscious.
Can't keep it low, cause you take me high. When I'm next to you, baby, I can fly. I open up my heart and let you inside. So girl, without you, I think I would die.
For weeks, your love is paradise. I don't wanna leave.
I don't wanna leave.